Open your Bibles to Jonah. We're going to start there this morning. It's four short chapters. There's a lot of lessons in Jonah that we're going to cover today. Some ones that we're really going to focus on that you may not have spent a lot of time in the past diving into. But I do want to start with reading the book. It is, again, just a couple of short chapters. And it's going to give us the context for what we're going to be speaking about today. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lower parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, that we may not perish." And they said one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for who causes this trouble that has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from, and what is your country, and what people are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea is growing more tempestuous." And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and all your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed in around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed me forever. Yet you have brought my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.'" So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was in a great and an exceedingly large city, 3 day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose and thrown aside and laid aside his robe, covering himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but to let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said, and he would not bring that upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was it not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant, and it came up over Jonah that it might shade him his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and so it damaged the plant and it withered. And it happened when the sun rose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, is it better for me to die than to live? Or it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you did not labor, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not have pity? Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern their right hand from their left and much livestock? Now, as you read Jonah, you always wonder what happens right there. That's the point where you think, well, wait, where's the next page? What happens from this point forward? We've got all the lessons we need from this point. As we talk about this morning, what happens with Jonah, we're going to talk about the lessons that we're going to learn from the people that are surrounding Jonah and Jonah's reactions. But Jonah is a book full of grace, second chances, and redemption. We learn from reading in Jonah chapter 4 that there was a reason for God's redemption. There was a need for God's redemption. There was a wicked nation that was saved. They were saved because they were wicked, and they did not know their right hand from their left. God had compassion upon them. Now, if you have seen the VeggieTales version of this, they got a cute little song that goes along with this. And I think the Ninevites were guilty of fish slappers or something like that. So they were evil in the fact that they were slapping one another with fish. Cute little way of looking at it, but their evil ways were much more than just slapping one another with fish. They needed God. They needed redemption. And only God could provide that for them. Jonah was a troubled prophet who didn't really get it. No, I'm kidding. He was saved from the depths of the sea. God gave him grace, having compassion. He provided Jonah with a second chance. And there are many chances that are given as a second chance throughout this book. There were a boat full of men who were unknowingly saved by not helping a man flee from God in his God-given duties. God provided peace in their troubled waters. God provided. Jonah was faced with pitting his own desires, what he thought was right, against God's. God provides a simple plant later in the lesson to teach yet another lesson about compassion. And God provided protection again for Jonah. God was teaching a lesson of compassion mainly to Jonah, trying to get him to understand what he had created and his compassion for the people of Nineveh. He was giving second chances to Jonah, teaching that a repentant nation of 120,000 people, that he loves them too, not just because they were, and they were not Hebrews, they were not Israelites. These were enemies, many times with Israel. But I want to talk about some of the things when we're looking at running, when we're running away, and this is what Jonah started out in chapter 1. Where was he going? Well, Jonah clearly had his own ideas how he felt about a nation that he thought was undeserving of saving. He wanted to get out of there. He didn't want any part of this. He was judging that Nineveh was not worth it. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Go, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come before me." But what did Jonah do? Well, verse 3 tells us Jonah fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now Tarshish, you're going to see in here in a minute, is not just a hop, skip, and a jump away from there. It's a great distance. But he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. Keep that in mind. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. This is a considerable distance, somewhere between 2,500 miles away from where he was supposed to be heading. He hops on a ship all the way down to Joppa and is heading away over here to Tarshish, over in Spain. He was going the opposite direction that he possibly could go, as far away as he can get away from this. Clearly, the Lord had other plans for him. Jonah was a man, a prophet called by God, who ran from the assignment that God had given him. He was the ultimate backslider. He was doing everything he could to avoid what God had told him to do. Jonah was running to danger by running from the Lord. God sought to give Nineveh a second chance. Jonah did not want to be a part of that work. He ran to try and hide from the Lord's work. What happened to a man that ran from the Lord? Well, God appointed a wake-up call to resend her his rebellious actions, and he basically gave him 3 days in a timeout corner to think about it. What happened to others who were caught up in Jonah's action plan to avoid God? Now, the innocent bystanders you're going to see that are on this boat had a lot to deal with. And I want you to think about, did they know who was in their boat? And I want you to think about, a little later, knowing who's in your boat. All right, so if you took note earlier, we talked about Jonah going down to Joppa and paying a price. Paid a price to get on a fare, to get on a boat, to go to Tarshish. He literally paid a price. He tried to create a path to hide from God, and it seems that things were lining up for him. It seems that things were going the way that he wanted to. He was able to get on this boat, and he was going to be going in the opposite direction. But it was going to cost him much more than that. Things may to have seemed to line up for him as he was getting ready to board the SS Rebellion. But he wasn't really paying attention to what his captain was, who it was. Satan is going to make disobedience and rebellion look right, to seem right, to feel right. And he's going to provide plenty of paths that we can run to. He is the captain of the SS Rebellion. And we'll think about that before you begin to board that ship next time. So have you ever booked a trip on the SS Rebellion? How'd that work out for you? As I think somebody mentioned here, Dr. Phil's favorite saying is, how'd that work out for you? How'd that do? When we begin to work against God's plans and his direction and his desire for us, we are booking that trip that is going to cost us a whole lot more than we anticipate. we begin to hurt those around us, including ourselves, but we begin hurting those around us. This happens fairly quickly on in the story. Soon after Jonah got on the boat, his plans begin to fall apart. Things don't go as planned. He realized his rebellion and disobedience was causing others great danger. You see that in verse 5. The weather's not too great. It's getting worse the longer they're out at sea. Have you seen where you're bent on doing your own will and not God's that others suffer that are close to you? That we begin to drag them down with us. Now, metaphorically speaking, think about what's happening on the boat with Jonah and the other mariners that are with him. What's happening there, and I want you to also tie that in spiritually as well as you think about how that's dragging us down and dragging others down around with us. It can either do it physically, spiritually, or emotionally, or all three. Like Jonah, we need to see the dangers we have placed others in and take drastic measures, as he took in verses 9 and 10, where he said, "Throw me overboard. I'm the cause for this. I'm the one who's causing these problems. Throw me overboard." But they didn't want to do that. They tried everything they could to avoid from doing that. They still didn't realize exactly who was in their boat. So I want to ask you, who's in your boat? Who are you traveling with? Who are you with? Sometimes we experience a storm not because we're running from God, but because who is in our boat? Who's taking that journey with us? Who are you running with? Are they bringing you down? Are they causing your ship to sink? Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of the fools will suffer harm, in Proverbs 13:20. Companion of fools will suffer harm. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Proverbs 22. You well know that evil companions corrupt good morals. Who's in your boat? And unfortunately, we can be a stubborn people. We've proven it time and time again. It's shown that way through history. And we can look back at our own selves and see where we've been stubborn. Jonah had to hit rock bottom before he cried out for help. Chapter 2 gives the recount of Jonah's prayer to God from the belly of the fish. And he recognizes God's sovereignty. He recognizes who created the fish to save him out of the lashing seas that were against him. He recognized God was saving him and giving him a second chance. So he asks God to remember him. The God-man relationship was strained because of Jonah's disobedience. Jonah needed God to save him. Think about our God-man relationship. We need God to rescue us from out of the deep for our own disobedience. Well, in verse 10, it says, the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited Jonah onto dry land. Here's Jonah's point for second chance. Now, immediately, something takes place here. What's the very next thing that God says to Jonah? Well, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, said, "Arise, go to Nineveh for that great city and call out against it the message that I will tell you. 40 days more remain, then Nineveh will be overthrown." God didn't change his message. He didn't change his messenger. He wanted Jonah to continue the work. God provides second chances to us despite our stubborn ways. So think about what second chances have been afforded to you. And more importantly, what have you done with them? When they've been granted to you, how have you dealt with these second chances? Well, God is seeking a change in his people who do not know him, and we see that clearly with Nineveh. He was seeking to save a city of 120,000. So we have a duty because of this. Many of you taking this on, and we applaud you for your efforts and teachers taking these efforts in teaching classes, whether it's out here or in the back. Jonah was given a task to preach to Nineveh, to teach about God's will, that they need to recognize who God is, and needed to tell them what they needed to hear. We have been blessed with so many teachers that have started their role in teaching process. We need to remember to encourage and embrace and provide loving coaching to help them achieve success with their students. We want them to do well. We want them to do the Lord's work. Our role to teach Jesus is not only limited to just here. We know this. Jonah was told to go out, right? He didn't live in Nineveh. He had to go there. We should embrace speaking out where we are the minority. Jonah was amongst a city set for destruction. He was a minority. He was one of 120,000. Not very good odds. But when you look at who was on his side, how'd that turn out? Turned out very good for Nineveh. So how should I respond to this task? Not like Jonah. Don't do it like Jonah did. Don't run away from those things. Don't run away from your responsibilities. Jonah didn't set a very good example there. And the funny part about it was, is he knew. He knew the kind of God that God was. It is not our judgment to determine who is fit to receive God's word. Jonah said, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to go to Tarshish, for this reason." He says right here, "For I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." He knew there was a good chance that Nineveh was going to be spared because he knew what kind of God the Lord was. Take note how the Lord answers Jonah. I like the amped version of this where it says, "Do you have a good reason to be angry? Do you have a good reason to be angry? Think about what you're saying to me, Jonah. Do you have a good reason?" Unfortunately, Jonah doesn't seem to improve his attitude. We see that he sulks. He goes off and sits to see if maybe a Sodom and Gomorrah kind of destruction comes upon Nineveh as he sits off on a hillside to the east. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "For everything that was written for the past was written to teach us, so that we, through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, might have hope." We learn from the scriptures. We learn from what's been taught to us. We learn from these examples. So what can we learn from these four chapters? We can learn that God provides. God provided salvation to men in a boat who were willing to evaluate and toss out the problem. They knew there was something wrong and they weren't going to be able to fix it themselves. They had to toss out the problem, and that's something we need to evaluate. Who's in our boat? Do we need to toss them out? It's a harsh reality to think about sometimes, but what would have happened to them if they didn't? It's likely they would have perished. They needed to evaluate the situation, toss out who was bringing them down. God provided a fish to save Jonah from his poor decision and offered him time to reflect on his attitude and obedience to God's will. Not Jonah's will, but God's will. God provides us mercy and grace, time to reflect and think about our actions. Fortunately, we're all here now. We've been able to afforded that time to think about our actions. Jonah was just provided a large fist to be able to sit in his timeout corner for a while to think about these kinds of things. Ours is going to be a little different. God provided a messenger to a dying nation. I want you to think about the relevancy of this. God provided a messenger to a dying nation who needed to hear about God's mercy and grace and the need for repentance, foreshadowing a future messenger who would do the same. Messenger would come to give a nation who was dying what they needed to do. God provided a plant to shelter Jonah from the sun and taught a lesson about who, not what, Jonah should have been concerned for. Where was Jonah's focus? It was on the plant. It was on what was serving him. It was what was helping him throughout his difficult time with the sun beating down on him and the hot wind. He was concerned for his own comfort. He wasn't concerned for Nineveh. God provided a way for him to see the compassion he should have. He provides us lessons through a flawed messenger. A man who ran from God. And we need to remember that God is able to use broken and flawed servants like us. We may not do things exactly like Jonah has, but I can tell you we've all messed up. So some final points about a lesson from a man who ran. We have a task to teach the lost. That's given to all of us. We should not be the ones trying to determine who is worthy of that message. That's not for us to determine. We should not attempt to hide from God on our responsibilities. Keep in mind that God will accomplish his will. And who are we to stand in the way? We should be thankful for those who are striving to teach, like Nineveh. God had provided them a tool for his own work. We need to encourage, we need to love, we need to embrace, we need to have compassion, remembering our own imperfections when we're out there teaching. Someone who is taking the time to do that, we need to remember we're our own flaws when we teach. So encouraging others who are taking on that responsibility of teaching. God provides a lesson about resurrection through the book of Jonah. Life from the dead. Jonah was as good as dead multiple times. He was thrown into the sea. He was swallowed by a fish. Not sure much more things could have happened. He was buried in the deep and saved by second chances through a merciful God. Christ uses Jonah's experience as a resurrection from the grave. And it mentions in Matthew 12, verse 40, "For as Jonah was there in 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, not only does Jesus put relevance to Jonah's story, backs it up by what happened with him, it's a foretelling of what's going to happen with Christ. It's a lesson for us to look at and see what Christ was going to endure. And finally, Jonah's lack of compassion is something we need to take note of. It's a lesson that we need to embrace with our own viewing of our part to seek and speak the truth. And what are we doing with it? Are we having compassion upon those around us and those that need to hear God's word? So those are my thoughts this morning on Jonah, a man who we look at and say he was flawed. He didn't do things the way God wanted him to. So I'll ask us the same question. Are we flawed? Yes, we are. We need God. We need his saving grace. We need his mercy. We need his redemption. And we need his second chances. So if you have any needs this morning that we can help you with, we ask that you do that as we come forward and as we sing.